Open up to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 and 4. We'll be spending the majority of our time in that text this morning. Before I get into the lesson this morning, I have several things I want to just say before, all of which stem around just a big thank you to each and every one of you. We have had a lot of you who have reached out and just offered, and I take great confidence when Sarah and I do have the need to be able to just drop everything and go to the hospital. It is an amazing comfort to know that no matter what we have to deal with, my family is good, my home is fine, everything will be taken care of, and all I have to do is just make a single phone call, and you guys jump right in. And even without making a phone call, you already jump right in. And I cannot thank you enough for that. I also want to give a great thank you to my daughters, all of my daughters, even my youngest, but especially my older daughters. What an honor it is as a father to know and to see who they have become and who they continue to develop to be, to where, again, I can just say, hey, we've got to go, and they can just say, we've got this, and they do. And so what an honor as a father to be able to do that. As you see up on the board this morning, I was trying to figure out a title for this lesson. Andy had asked me, hey, do you have a title? And that's one of the things I'm one of the worst people at. I usually come up with thoughts and lessons, but rarely do I actually say, well, what would you title it as? And honestly, I have no idea. So another thank you is due. Actually, Casey is the one that helped me out with this image. This particular image is one I had been had in my mind for a while. And Casey doing what she does, I said, hey, I am not creative and I am not an idea person. So here's a couple things I wanted to, you know, I had in mind. What do you have? And a little bit of time passes by and she says, what about this? And I love it. She did a great job, and I've actually had her make this for me in the past. But it's a statement that to me, I'm not going to go into this statement this morning and where it all came from and so on, and I've actually talked a little bit about this before, but if not me, then who? And that is, to me, that is a powerful question that we can all ask ourselves. And it reminds me, as I'd had Casey also put on here, it says in Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. And when you think back about what God's text is telling us in the midst of that, God is telling Isaiah, I've got a message that needs to be going out, and I need somebody to do it. And Isaiah says, I'm it. I'm the guy. And I've always been just amazed, because for those who have had an opportunity to study Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, about his life and what he did, that was not an easy task. And that wasn't a task that just took him a day. And he says, you know what, I got to go a day, I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to go and tell the people one day, and off we go. Rather, it was a lifelong message that Isaiah continued to do. It was a commitment that Isaiah made when he said, here am I, send me. It was a commitment that Isaiah placed in his heart to say, God has a message, I'm going to teach that message. And it cost him greatly from the physical standpoint. And so I use all of that for this. I hope that you have your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Now, the bulk of our text this morning is going to be coming from Ezekiel. I hope I didn't just say Ezekiel, but I may have. You will have to forgive me. My mind is a little cloudy. I've had some strong coffee this morning, but my days have been kind of messed up in the last couple days. But as we look in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, we find that there's a set of things that take place that we're going to be looking at this morning in the life of Moses. Now, if I were just to open up the class or this sermon and just ask you, what can you tell me about Moses? You could probably tell me a lot of great things about Moses, because as you look at the scriptures, Moses was a great man. And he was a great man in a lot of ways. And if you were to look at Moses and you were to say, you know, he was a man that had a lot of weaknesses and a lot of things that just didn't work out very well, you would probably disagree with that. Because as you look at Moses and the task that God gave him and the way that he went about it, and the lifelong commitment that he made to not only to God's task, but also to the children of Israel, it is impressive. So much as you look at the life of Moses and you compare that to what takes place throughout the rest of the Bible, it is amazing how often Moses is used throughout the rest of the Bible in trying to teach us some amazing lessons about Christ and about deliverance and about salvation and about faith. Moses is mentioned throughout the rest of the Bible because of the things that he was involved in and the faith that he had and the examples that he had, but also the things that he had to deal with. And so I want to look at what happened before Moses went about all those things. Because as you see in chapter 2, we find, and hopefully most of you are aware of the story of what takes place, that the Israelites are in Egypt. There was a Pharaoh that by this point did not know who Joseph was or his Joseph and all that he did. And ultimately the children of Israel end up in bondage and slavery. And we find that this slavery is not good and it's very difficult, and they cry out, greatly. And we find that Moses is born, and his parents did not fear Pharaoh because Pharaoh had made this decree that all the males should be put to death. And they said, we're not going to do that. We find that instead they raised him as long as they could, and then they put him in a basket. And we find that eventually Moses ended up in the household of Pharaoh as Pharaoh's daughter's son. But we see that as he grows, and at the age of 40, Moses realizes and puts in his heart, and as he sees and looks around, that being an Egyptian, that is not what life is about. More specifically, that is not what being the life or living a life for Christ is about. And I say for Christ because as you look in the New Testament and you even look in some of the things that are written, Moses had a great understanding, it appears, of who God was. And he certainly saw what the Egyptian people were doing and how they were living and the immoral lives that they had. And Moses said, that is not a part of what I can be. And so we find that eventually Moses ends up through a chain of events, and I am going to just flying right through it. But because of some things that took place, he ends up having to flee because fear for his life. And he ends up in the wilderness. And he goes from being in a very powerful position to here he is in chapter 3. He is a shepherd in the wilderness. And here he has been shepherding for 40 years. He has been in this different land. And so we find that what takes place is that God comes to him and says, Moses, I have a job for you, or I have a task. When we think about the task that God gives us, a task, and I just looked up a quick definition, a task is a piece of work to be done or undertaken. We think about our lives, there are a lot of tasks that we have. Whether you're talking about life as a Christian or whether we just talk about life in general, we have a lot of tasks. But we see that what takes place is that God came specifically to Moses and said, I have a job for you. And I have it written up here in several of the passages I do have on the board this evening or this morning. But in Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. This is God speaking. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptian oppresses them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So this was a big task, and God specifically had chosen Moses for this task. Now again, sometimes when we consider tasks, sometimes, for example, when you're younger, if your parents ask you, hey, your task, your job, your responsibility is to clean the room, sometimes that task may seem very big. But in all reality, if we just really got down and worked hard to clean our room, how long does that really take? An hour? A two? I remember very specifically when we were younger, sometimes my mom would ask us, it would take us all Saturday because we just did not want to do it. And we did a very poor job and we had to do it again. Sometimes those tasks seem overwhelming, but in all reality, they're really not. But when you think about the task that God's getting ready to ask Moses to do, it is a very substantial task. And when you look forward, knowing, and we have the bigger picture of all of these things, when you look at what this was going to cost Moses and what this was going to take, It was a humongous task that was going to require all of his energy, all of his efforts. He was basically going to have to sacrifice everything that he was doing, the life that he was living, and now go under a great role of responsibility in leading a people out of Egypt, leading a people to a promised land, a people that who in the past did not even accept or agree that he was a leader. We find that it is going to take a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and to be honest, a lot of patience. This was a very big task that he was given. But what I want to focus on this morning are a few things. When Moses got this task, his response was this: who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, you could look at this response a couple different ways. We could look at, and know specifically, that the Bible teaches us that Moses was a man of great meekness. Specifically, we find in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, it says Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So maybe this is a response of just great humility on Moses' part. Who am I that I should take on such a task, God? Why are you coming to me? Because I am such not the person ready for this task. But in all reality, as you continue to read and look at the context, I think what we find more specifically is Moses says, really? Who am I? Why are you picking me? Why am I the one to take on this task? Surely there's got to be somebody else. When you think about Moses and you think about the task that he is getting ready to take on, again, Moses had some concerns. Moses had certainly been in the past worried about some of these things, and I'll talk to that about in a minute. But Moses' concern in verse 13 says, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? He's got some great concerns and saying, you know, I've kind of been here before. What if the children of Israel don't listen to me? What if they don't follow me? But you know, God answers this question. Beginning in verse 13, all the way through the rest of the chapter 3 is God's answer to this question. Now, we are not going to spend time in looking at this particular section of verses. If you have opportunity to, I do encourage you, come out to Hazeldale, because this is part of what I'll be looking at and talking with the brethren there this next weekend. But we find that God answers them specifically, and I'm going to summarize this very quickly, but he more or less answers it in this way. Listen, I have always been. And when you look back at my history of who I am and what I have promised, I am that God, the God of the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. When you look at what I am already doing, because I have heard the children of Israel and their plea, you look back at chapter 3 and verse 7, it describes, and I love the way that this is written, because and there's a lot to learn even just from this passage. The Lord says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And again, I love that he uses the term my people. The children of Israel sometimes failed to remember. They were his people. But I saw the oppression of my people. He says also in the same verse, I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So even though in the midst of all of this that they were going through, and sometimes we glance or gloss over how long they've been in this oppression, but let's just stop and think for just a moment. Even from the beginning of Acts chapter 2 to where Moses is at in Acts chapter 3, that is 80 years of oppression that they have been under this task. That is most of us, that is beyond our lifetimes that we have already lived. They have been under this bondage and this task. But yet God responds, I see it, I hear it, and I know. But then he also brings about in saying, I am the God that is getting ready to prepare for them for the future that I have set in store for them. That I will deliver them from this affliction. That I will not only deliver them, but I will deliver them with great wealth, great, I will provide everything that they need, the clothing, the money, the things, the land that is prepared, flowing with milk and honey. It is already, I have already prepared that because I am their God. And so that brings us to what we find. That in and of itself is pretty substantial, isn't it? But we see Moses responds in this way. And this is where I want to spend the rest of our time this morning. Moses had doubts. And for some of us, I think, and I believe, and this is the reason why I put this lesson together the way that I did. I think that this lesson is one that I believe that we can all relate to very easily. Because in our lives, have you ever found yourself doubting what you're able to do? Have you ever found yourselves doubting whether or not I'm the guy for that task? I speak specifically for myself. I have many times. Because like Moses, oftentimes when we think about the task that we may be or the task that might be in front of us and we're looking at that task and be like, you know, I know there are more people that are more capable and more able to do that. Maybe that's their job. Or maybe I really don't know because I've never done this before. So, you know, I don't think I can take on that task. We have a lot of doubts in our lives, and that's fair. There's plenty of things in our lives that we come across that can bring about our doubts. But here is God talking to Moses and said, I have a task for you. And Moses is like, but God, hang on just a second. I've got some doubts. We see, first of all, in chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses responds this way, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the first concern that Moses has is, well, what if they don't believe me? Now, I've made reference to this a couple times already, but you know, interestingly enough, if you turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 7, we're actually given some insight into some things that we didn't find in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Stephen is actually given a defense, giving a defense to the Jewish leaders at this time. And he goes back and he talks a lot about the events of what Moses did. And I found it very interesting that Stephen had this insight, and certainly it was through the Holy Spirit leading him to say these things. But we see starting in verse 24 of Acts chapter 7, and seeing one of them, again speaking about Moses specifically, suffering wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in verse 25, he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Have you ever noticed that before? We're not talking about right now, 80 years since Moses was born or as God is getting ready to send him. But this is 40 years ago when Moses was in Egypt and rose up and realized that I do not and am not going to be a part of the Egyptians, but rather I want to be and take part of the suffering of the children of Israel, my people. He seemed to understand it. I don't have all the answers to how Moses knew what he did, but he seemed to think or realize, at least at that time, that he was there to deliver the people. But guess what? The people weren't ready to follow him, were they? And I'll tell you, as you come to chapter 3, I believe that it helps us to understand a little bit more of why Moses had some of the doubts that he had. Because already the people didn't believe him, or at least previously. And we find that God had already even told him. And I'll tell you, sometimes we forget. But back in that response that God gave to Moses early on in chapter 3, God already told him in verse 18, when he shows up there and he talks to the elders, in verse 18, they will heed your voice. So God had already given him the reassurance that, listen, they're going to listen to you. But yet, sometimes it's really easy for doubts to arise. You know, something that I want us to consider is that How often in our own lives do we fall into the same condition, the same problem, the same mindset that Moses had? God has given us a task. And we are to go out with our message. And the message that Moses was bringing was that of deliverance, wasn't it? And God has given us the same task today, to take a message out about deliverance. Now, the children of Israel, there were some that certainly listened. The elders listened. Now, Moses had to do some things. And as you read further on in this particular text in chapter 4, God gives him the means to be able to settle those concerns. God said, Moses, they may not believe your words, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you three miracles for you to do. You're going to take this rod, you can throw it down, it'll turn it into a snake. Take your hand, you stick it in this cloak, pull it back out. Your hand is now leprous, put it back in the cloak, pull it back out, leprosy's gone. And I'll give you the ability to turn water into blood. You'll turn the Nile into blood. So if they don't believe you by your words, I'll give you some miracles so that they might believe. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Our Lord and our Savior came to this earth with a lot of words to say. And there were a lot of people that didn't believe, but Jesus says, look at all the miracles that I'm doing. And God, through those miracles, backed up the very words that Jesus Christ was saying. The same with the apostles. To the point to where even those who were criticizing them said, listen, they could not do these things if God was not behind them. And so we find that the children of Israel, they do listen, they do heed. But when we consider our lives and when we consider the things that end up taking place, here's a very valuable lesson for you. Now, in Moses' case, he's already been given reassurance. They're going to listen. But in our lives, the task that God has given us, are people going to listen? It's really nice when you go into a situation already knowing the outcome, but the reality to it is we don't know those outcomes. And when you look throughout the Bible, there's a lot of examples of people that had a task that God said, I want you to go and I want you to do these things and I want you to teach. But you think about Noah, preacher of righteousness. Did the people listen to him? They didn't. But he kept teaching. You think about the prophet Jeremiah. Did people listen to him? They didn't. But yet he kept teaching. The prophet Isaiah. And he does one of the greatest jobs of painting the picture of what's taking place. Because again, as I had stated, it was his life. God said, I have this message, you go teach. And Isaiah asks, how long? How long do I keep teaching this message? And if you want to write this down and even make a note in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through the end of the chapter. God says, you're going to go teach this message and you're going to do so until judgment comes upon these people. They're not going to listen to you, but you keep teaching. If no one is going to change, or even in our minds, how often when we think, well, they're not going to listen anyway, so why am I wasting my time teaching? Yet God has said, I have a task for you, and I want you to keep teaching. What about the greatest teacher that ever walked this earth, our Lord and our Savior? Brethren, if anybody would be able to gain the ears and to have people listen, it would have been our Lord and our Savior, the perfect teacher. Yet many did not listen. And so what do we learn from this? Is that sometimes we are far too concerned about the response of what people will, or how people will respond, whether they will listen, how they will react to the words that I have to say. But what we find, so we're not to be concerned about the response, but we are to be concerned about the work God has given us to do. Even though God knows that there are going to be a lot of people who are not going to listen, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to reject those very words. It is not us who they are rejecting, but it is God who they are rejecting. And so God deals with these concerns and gives Moses everything that he needs to accomplish this task, as he has done for us today. And yet we find that Moses had a second question. In chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "Oh, my Lord, I am not an eloquent. I am not eloquent either before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow to speech and slow of tongue." Now, this is something that we grew up probably knowing or hearing, because we know here and a little bit later, guess what he does to be able to compensate for this lack of concern, or this lack of or I'll get the words right here in a second, the doubt that Moses has about his ability to speak. He sends his brother Aaron and says, "I'll take care of you." But I want you to notice something, and this is just something for you to really think about. Was Moses able to speak? Was he someone that had this ability to be able to talk to people? Now, certainly God does send Aaron. And we find very quickly, early on dealing with Pharaoh, dealing with the people, that Aaron did some of the talking. Moses and Aaron did some of the talking. As you look at the text, you can see both. As we looked over back in some of the things that are written in Acts, guess what it teaches us there? We see that Moses was, Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. That's Moses. And along with that, and just stop to think about this for just a second, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? More specifically, who was teaching and speaking the words of God in the book of Deuteronomy? Moses is addressing the people. Now again, was Moses as well prepared as he would have liked to have been? Certainly seems like he probably wasn't. But did Moses have the abilities to do what he needed to do? I believe he absolutely does. But yet we find this is what takes place when doubt arises in our hearts and our minds. Is that so often it is easy for us to allow our doubts to say, and maybe again, it's very easy for us to identify with Abraham and saying, "Listen, I don't know what to say." And I don't know how many of you, even when you think about evangelism, how stressed you might become in thinking about, "I've got to talk to somebody else. What do I say? What do I say?" Even yesterday, Brother Andy and I had an opportunity to go and visit Sister Brenda's mother in the hospital. And brethren, I didn't get with Brother Nate on this, but it doesn't look good. They plan on releasing her from the hospital, and they're calling in hospice. So please keep her in your prayers. But brethren, when you go and talk to somebody in that situation where they have found out the news that there's pretty much nothing that can be done, what do you say? So we find ourselves in the situation of doubts and be like, "Well, what do I say? I don't have the right words. I'm going to fumble my words. I may say it all wrong." But I want to stop you for just a moment. Because what we find and what God teaches us about words, and how does He respond to Moses' doubt in saying, I am not good with my words, Lord. In verse 11 of chapter 4 it says, "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.'" Brethren, this is one of the greatest lessons that I believe that we can learn, especially when we consider the things and the responsibilities and the tasks that God has given to us in how to use our mouth for the task that God has given us. When we find ourselves doubting, when we think along the ways and start making excuses about, I'm just not good with my words. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Brethren, I go back to the very things that God is teaching Moses and saying, first of all, I will teach you what to say. But second of all, have you forgotten who formed your mouth and what it's for? I kept smiling when we've been going through our class here recently and talking about the potter and the clay. And this comes right back to the very principles that Andy's been teaching us and we've been looking at together through God's Word, as he being the potter and we being the clay, that God knows exactly what he has made in us. God knows exactly who we are and the abilities and what we can do and we are capable of. But how often we fall into the trap, and honestly, I believe that Satan oftentimes uses us as a means by which to slow us down and to keep us from doing the very task that God has given us, in saying, you know what, I don't think God knew what he was doing when he made me, because I can't do this. This is not something I'm capable of. Whereas I would beg to differ that when it comes to teaching, there's a reason that God says we all have that responsibility to go and to teach about Jesus Christ, because that is something that we all have the ability to do. We find that even though God does respond to Moses, and in both of these cases, I want you to notice something. How did God react to both times that Moses said, God, I'm not sure you realize the task that you're giving me. I've got some doubts and I'm not sure I'm the guy. How did God respond? Moses, be quiet, get after your job. Is that what he did? That's not how Moses responded at all. That is not how God responded to Moses at all. What is so impressive to see is that God is patient. God is loving. God is helpful in addressing the concerns that Moses had and saying, I'm not sure I can do this, God. And God says, I'll give you these miracles. They will listen. I'm sending my brother, your brother, he goes on here in just a few minutes to say, I'm sending your brother to help you along these lines to take care of this task. But more specifically, God just simply answers in verse 12, I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what you shall say. That is a valuable lesson. Jesus said the same thing to his apostles, and I believe that we have the same words of encouragement today. But there's one other thing that takes place. Then Moses had another doubt and response. The third one isn't found in chapter 4, verse 13, but he says, O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Now, the wording of that's a little weird, isn't it? The Christian Standard Bible, one I really appreciate how they wrote this. Please, Lord, send someone else. Have you ever been guilty of saying this? Thinking this? Wanting just somebody else to take on the responsibility or to set the task? But this goes back to the very things that I started in the image. If not me, then who? Or you think about what Isaiah said, Lord, here I am, send me. You know, in all the things that Moses had previously said, God was extremely patient with. But the one that angered God, as you look in verse 14, after Moses said, Oh, my Lord, please send by thy hand or the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you want to know what makes God upset and angry? Is when we're not willing to take on the task that he said and says, you know what, there's got to be somebody else out there. You know, in and of themselves, I think there's some valuable lessons for us to learn. As we think about the task and the responsibilities that God gives us, it is not wrong to have concerns. It is not wrong to have doubts. But God answers those doubts. But where we have absolutely, if we are not very careful, where we overstep our boundaries in not taking on the responsibilities, when we said, you know what, somebody else can do that. We find that there are just so many passages that teach us, even in the New Testament, in talking about these things. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Again, a great responsibility that we have, and God knew what he was doing in making us, and the responsibilities that we can take. If you would, turn your Bibles over to the book of Philippians. I want to look here for just a minute and read with you a passage. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Starting there, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Brethren, you know what God knows, and sometimes we fail to think about this, but he knows that he is sending us out in the midst of darkness. He knows the task that he is putting before us is not going to be easy. Jesus speaks about this. God speaks about this. Jesus says it more or less in these words and saying, "Listen, if they're going to persecute me and they're not going to listen to me who is God, if you want to know and see who the God is and know who God is, look at me. If they're not going to listen and accept who I am and the things that I am saying, what makes you think that they're going to listen to you as my servants?" But yet God knows he's sending us out in the darkness. That's why he says, "You are lights in this world." We are those who are going out. And I think to try to just put this in a very quick summary, where we fail in all of these things and what Moses was failing to understand and to see at first, is that the mission and the task that God has given us, that it is not about us. Moses was not going to the children of Israel because of how great Moses was. But you know what God's, starting all the way back to chapter 3, the very first time that Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" You know what God says? "I will be with you." Three different times in these two chapters does God say and use, four different times, does he say those very words, "I will be with you." And what we need to remember is that God, it is all about him. As Moses went to the people, yes, he was delivering his people, but yet it was all pointed towards God. We may have fears. And we will have fears when the way that we think about the task and the responsibilities that we have, when we think that it's about us or it's about how people are going to respond to us. And don't get me wrong, we even find in the Bible where Paul himself talks about how he lived, and there were times where he was living in fear. As he approaches to teach in Corinth for the first time, he was in fear. Why? Because he had just been ran out of every single city that he had been in. He had been beaten. He had been stoned and left for dead. He had been flogged. He had faced great persecution, great resistance, great pain because of the words that he was teaching. But yet he never let that stop him. And even God gave him reassurance. And what we realize, and the question I guess we need to ask and answer, is, was Isaiah, was Jeremiah, was Noah, was Jesus, were they successful in their task? God gave them a task. You go out and you spread this message. Were they successful in their task? Because again, remember, very few people, relatively speaking, very few people listened to them. And yet you look, they were successful in their task because they did exactly what God wanted them to do and had asked for them to do. They took that message and they continued to teach until the end of their days. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," and this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, "I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, brethren, as we think about this, sorry, went a little too far on that. Paul made this very simple. And again, it's not about us as we go about this task of taking God's word out to the world. If you're worried and concerned about the things that you have to say and to talking to other people, I do encourage you to quit worrying about that. Yes, do the things that you can do. Be ready. Know your Bible. Because again, you cannot teach something you don't know. It is important for you to study God's word. But I'll tell you right now, in any conversation and when you go out to teach, just like Paul, just like the apostles, just like everyone else you see within the Bible who are teaching people and taking a message out, they are not teaching what they think. They are simply taking God's message and proclaiming that to people. And brethren, we have the message of God. It is right here in front of us. And so this makes our job a lot easier. And one of the things that God also answers, and I failed to say this earlier, but when you think about that third, when God says, or when Moses was answering God and said, please just pick somebody else. You know what Moses did, or what God did for Moses, and what Moses did from that point forward, is that he had somebody with him. And brethren, if you're concerned about talking and teaching other people and talking, I tell you what, you know what's the simplest thing for you to do? Call somebody up and take them with you. It's easy. Because I'll tell you right now, even now in my life, there are times when I'm by myself that, yeah, I'm like, what do I say? But brethren, I can be a testament to how well it works, even just having somebody with you. Even if you're the one doing the majority of the talking, having somebody there with you completely changes how easy it is to talk to other people. But then also remembering God is with you. So every response that God gives turns everything away from what Moses was worried about himself, but just simply points it back to God. It is not about us, but it is about God. It isn't about them accepting you, but it is about them accepting God's message. And then last of all, and this will be the conclusion of these things, that as you look at all of these things, it is such a foreshadowing of the very things, the very life, the very existence of what we have as children of God today, the foreshadowing of the deliverance that is to come. Jesus Christ has now come and delivered mankind. The door is open, but yet he was asking us to go and to be those deliverers. As God was appearing to Moses and saying, I want you to go and to bring my people out, we are now tasked with the same thing, to go and to bring people out of darkness with the light that is Jesus Christ, to bring them out. Teach them about Jesus Christ. It may be as simple as, and you think about the children of Israel, you think about even Pharaoh himself, it says, when Moses appears, it says, I don't know your God. I know nothing about your God. Well, guess what? By the time this was all said and done, Pharaoh, he knew a lot more about God because Moses taught him through those miracles. Now, Pharaoh chose not to believe. You think about the children of Israel. They did not seem to understand or know God well at all. But yet there was a lot of opportunities for them to believe in God. Will you accept the task that God has given? I'll look at this passage and then the lesson will be yours. I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We are, and certainly there is a great thank you for that, isn't there? But we are those who are trying to spread that message to find the hearts of those who are willing and ready and eager to listen and to follow after the great shepherd, our Lord and our Savior. Jesus Christ is there for deliverance. We are tools. We are the avenue in which God is using to be able to bring about this deliverance, to spread this great message of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is available to all of mankind who are willing to come to Jesus Christ and to believe in Him as the Lord and Savior. The question is, first of all, are you willing to take on that task? If you are a child of God, that task falls on you. If you found yourself using or saying or being just like Moses in ways to where you have doubts, concerns, you come up with a lot of excuses, I encourage you and hope that if nothing else that you realize those excuses are nothing more than excuses, because God has given us everything that we need. But if you are those who are not a child of God at this time, but yet see Jesus Christ, the power that He has brought about and the blessings that we have through Him, but yet you have not committed to following after Him, being delivered through His blood, be washed free through baptism, the call is for you today. Are you willing to answer that call? So, brethren, I leave you with this image. If not me, then who? Are you willing to take on the task? If you've not even started that journey, please. If you want to sit down, I would love to sit down and talk with you. I'd love to just look into God's Word and see what God has to say. And let us show you how Jesus Christ can deliver you from darkness. If you have a need of any kind, I do ask that you please come forward as we stand, as Brother Tanner leads us in this song.